Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the backroads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going. Episode 22. Make Me Cry. Anyone familiar with the 6-inch tall porcelain pickle dish stand made in 1771 by the American China Manufactory of Bonin and Morris in Philadelphia won't find anything groundbreaking here. And anyone who has never seen it before might wonder why they should bother looking at it at all. I mention these two caveats because they are central to understanding the narrative that follows. The most striking thing about this stand is its mere existence. It's a study in extremes, combining exacting materials never before used on these shores, complex assembly, intended for the finest dining experiences of the wealthiest Philadelphians, and a choral theme that only the intelligentsia could fully appreciate. The sheer audacity of its makers to presume so much. Gus Bonin was a Huguenot dilettante whose only previous pottery experience was a brief attempt at making crucibles. His pal George Anthony Morris's forte was asking his dad for financing and connections. Together, they formed the American China Manufactory in 1770 and immediately aimed for the stars. The pickle stand was their magnum opus. It was a perfect plan. A skilled production team, in large part lured away from the Bow Porcelain Factory in England, local materials that even Josiah Wedgwood was envious of. Boiling, independence-oriented secessionist fever, and, for good measure, a non-importation agreement act passed in the 1760s to placate colonists after the French-Indian War. Local Brahmins Sir Charles Palmer and Benjamin Franklin joined the bandwagon. Customers from as far away as Albany, New York, were interested. Then came the perfect storm. The Non-Importation Act lapsed, and the conniving Wedgwood, with help from the East India Company, flooded Philadelphia with porcelain 5 times cheaper than that of Bonin and Morris. This sort of collusion would elsewhere soon lead to harbors filled with tea. Bonin and Morris literally begged for help. But people who knew their work and could afford porcelain preferred the imports. And people who didn't or couldn't, well, they just didn't care. In 1772, Bonin and Morris ignobly kicked their master potters out on the street. Morris then moved to South Carolina and promptly died. Bonin moped back to England. Encountering one of their 6 existing pickle stands today, either in the Philadelphia Museum of Art or the Smithsonian's National Gallery of Art, is a humbling experience. Ironically, in both of these museums, it sits alone in a small case next to a passageway leading out of a large display room. Easy to pass without ever noticing. Considering the epic struggles behind the stand's creation, it seems inconsequential, small, nondescript among the finer artifacts towering around it. But all that work, all those crushed hopes riding on that fragile little thing, it's heartbreaking, almost enough to make one cry. Thanks for listening, and until next time, remember that sage advice from humorist Will Rogers way back in the 1930s. Nothing you can't spell will ever work.